Thanks for listening to The Drive with Big Al and D-Mac, on demand, brought to you by SEL Mortgage, the leaders in Colorado of special circumstance lending, helping everyone, including people with unusual financing needs. Locally owned and operated, visit myspecialmortgage.com. That's myspecialmortgage.com.
Covering Training Camp 2018, presented by Mountain High Appliance. It's football at 4 with Big Al and D-Mac on Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan.
Welcome to Football at 4 here on The Drive. We're going to look at the spotlight right now, and we're going to shine it on the quarterback position. And there was something that was said about Case Keenum that I didn't quite agree with Big Sexy about earlier. And we were talking earlier because Case Keenum said, what exactly was his quote? He does not feel disrespected by the Minnesota Vikings. Chad, if a team did not re-sign you after having a great year and you hit free agency and you've made the most money that you've ever made in your NFL career, would you be disappointed that they didn't sign you back there?
Yeah.
You would be.
I would be. Now,
would you be personal?
Yeah. You know,
wait a minute. Let me make sure I got this right. So, Big Sexy, what exactly was the quote that you gave to me again?
No, man. I mean, I love all those guys. You know, I mean, this Saturday it's gonna be competition, and we're gonna get after it. I know those guys are gonna be jacked to get back on the field, just like I'm jacked to get back on the field. So, but yeah, no bad feelings.
No hard feelings.
He was asked if he had any bad feelings towards his old team.
Yeah, I left the Steelers. I love those guys in the locker room. But I was upset that Steelers, you know, they had to make a choice. Myself or Jerome Bettis. They chose Jerome. You know, myself or you know, bringing Greg Lloyd back. They chose Greg. I felt they made a mistake. I was angry.
So you had hard feelings against
Yeah, I mean, I was still see Mr. Rooney and give him, you know, all kind of respect and love because that's what he showed me. But, yeah, in the end, how could you not have hard feelings? I laid it on the – I was willing to die for the Pittsburgh Steelers. You know what I'm saying? I laid it on the line for those guys. I hobbled out of that stadium many days.
Yeah, but when Paul Allen sent his private plane to pick you and your beautiful wife up, you took that visit with open arms, right?
Heck yeah.
Okay, so when Paul Allen sends a private plane to come get Chad Brown, are you telling me that you're still upset with the Steelers not re-signing you?
They could have had me for lot cheaper. They could have signed me during the season. Why'd you even let me get to free agency? You doubted what kind of player I was? You told me in one of the last meetings I had as a Steeler, we're not sure if you can play outside of a 3-4 system. So not only did you not re-sign me, you disrespected me as a player.
Right.
You told me
you
doubted my success, my potential for success in other places. I was rightly upset.
Well, that exit meeting probably did send you over the top, but that's not how it usually goes in going into free agency. Now, we did see it happen that way last year with the Washington Redskins and Kirk Cousins. That coaching staff in Washington didn't do Kirk Cousins any favors on his way out. So Gruden and Kirk Cousins didn't see eye to eye because they knew that they weren't getting – Kirk Cousins back. Maybe they knew in Pittsburgh that they weren't going to get you back.
It wasn't with the coaches, this conversation. It was with the general manager. It was Tom Donahoe at the time.
Wow.
Who went on.
Love to see you Buffaloes while you were there.
Yeah, who went on and became a general manager with Buffalo Bills after he left Pittsburgh. And, you know, I think he's a fantastic general manager, and Tom and I have spoken since then. So there's no, like, lingering hard feelings. But as a competitive player, to tell me what I can't do, well, I'm going to show you what I can't do. I'm going to go do it.
So you had hard feelings, and you know what? I had no hard feelings after either of the two teams that I left in free. I had no hard feelings about either one of them. I just wanted something else. I just was looking for something else. And so since I was looking for something else and somebody was willing to provide me an opportunity to play, then I just took it. Like I didn't have hard feelings that the Bengals gave me the best offer in free agency. Mm-hmm. Why would I be mad with them? I didn't take their offer, but certainly they gave me the best offer. The 49ers gave me a chance to have a new life in this league with a winner. There's no reason I should be mad at them. And, of course, you know, everything that happened here with the Broncos was supposed to go this way because I figured this was the way it was supposed to go. Because I got what I needed from each one of those organizations, and I just needed to move on until I can get to where I really wanted to go.
Now,
did you really just want to stay in Pittsburgh?
Oh, yeah.
You wanted to line up and be
why
in that Ring of Fame and possibly have a Hall of Fame career with the Steelers.
You play with the Steelers as a linebacker, and you play moderately to decently well. Chances are you're going to make the Pro Bowl. And you do that for 6-7 years, chances are you're going to be in the Hall of Fame. That's just how
it goes. Gotcha.
Steeler linebackers, in particular with that style of defense, just the opportunities to get after the quarterback, I would have had over 100 sacks.
Were you cognizant of the Hall of Fame option?
It was, yeah, because...
At what age?
Well, as a Pittsburgh Steeler, when they bring in the rookies to the Pittsburgh Steelers, they take them to a meeting, and ownership is there, general manager is there, head coach is there, and they show you Pittsburgh Steelers Hall of Fame speeches. So you're rookie, brand new to the NFL, your very first minicamp. They're showing you the legacy of the Pittsburgh Steelers and the Hall of Famers that come from that organization.
Wow.
Then the film stops, the door opens, and here comes walking in Pittsburgh Steeler Hall of Famers, welcoming you and greeting you into the Steeler family.
What?
Can you have a more impactful first day as an NFL guy than that?
Wow.
So the tone of what it meant to be a Steeler is set on day one. So the Hall of Fame was always in my mind. If I play well and I last in this organization, I can be just like those guys.
Wow. Wow. That was your introduction to football in the NFL.
And then, of course, during the season, of course, on game day, those guys are always around. Jack Lambert's in the locker room. Jack Ham's walking through. You know, there's Lynn Swann. Franco had his sausage place around the corner from the facility. So you saw all those guys all the time. So why would you not want to be like those guys?
Right.
And I'm playing with Rod Woodson. I know he's going into the Hall of Fame. I'm playing with Kevin Green and Greg Lloyd. One of those guys, and most likely two of them, deserve to be in the Hall of Fame. So why would I not have those thoughts all the time? Why would I not want to stay here, which is going to give me the best chance to win games and to be a Hall of Famer?
Do you believe that when you consider your thoughts that those are applicable to a guy like Case Keenum, who was just rolling through the organization and just happened to get a chance to start because of an injury to Sam Bradford? Would you say that that's a negative because he didn't have the same feelings that you had?
No.
Your former team?
No. I've got no issue with him.
Because it wasn't supposed to happen. I don't know if he ever thought he would get a payday like he just got from the Denver Broncos after being the starter for the Rams and really not doing well and then being a backup there in Minnesota. I don't know if he ever thought he would get a chance to have, you know, 14, 15 starts.
I think, yeah. He's.
I'm happy if I'm Case Keenum. I am happy. And I'm not regretful or I don't have any hard feelings towards that team because they launched me.
They gave me a shot. It was awesome. I appreciate that.
Yes.
Versus where I put in 4 years of work.
Gotcha.
You knew what I could do.
4 years as a starter.
I played multiple positions for you. I played special teams. I've done everything you asked.
If it's your initial team, then it may be some hard feelings.
I feel like you got a chance to know who I was and knew my football character was and my best football was in front of me. And then the competitor in me was determined to make you regret that decision.
Right.
Now, Case Keenum, I think he has that same mindset that I have. He's just not saying that publicly. He's fine and happy that things have worked out as they are. He's found a great home with Denver. He's got a Hall of Fame quarterback as his GM, who's his number one supporter over there. You know, he's a solidified guy. There's no quarterback controversy here. He's getting paid tons of money. This worked out incredibly well.
He has no reason to have a beef.
He has no reason to be upset. And again,
No competition.
Yeah, my anger was not like I hate those guys. My anger was just, I got to show you that you made the wrong choice here. It was much more of a competitive sense of anger as opposed to you've disrespected me and I can't believe you don't know what I can do as a player. they had a financial decision to make. The Steelers did not have a new stadium. They didn't have luxury boxes. They couldn't pay big signing bonuses. They couldn't compete what Seattle was going to bring. I knew that once that whole thing started going, but I gave them a chance to sign me before that for much cheaper.
Coming back, here's something that you have to think about. Every last one of the quarterbacks that you're going to see this Saturday were in the Broncos' plans.
Sandy Clef here to tell you about SCL Mortgage Special Circumstance Lending, locally owned and operated. And if you're self-employed or work on commission, this is the place for you. Bank statement loans are back. You don't need tax returns to do your loan. In some cases, the bank statement loans can be done with credit scores in the low 600s. MySpecialMortgage.com on the web, 303-790-2222. The phone number, SCL Mortgage, licensed by the Colorado Department of Regulatory Agencies, number 120.
Covering Training Camp 2018, presented by Body Armor Sports Drink. Here's Big Al and D-Mac.
Chad, all of these quarterbacks that are going to participate for the most part were in the Broncos' plans at one time or another. We start off with the two starters, and of course we're talking about Case Keenum, and of course Kirk Cousins was part of that conversation. The next group will be Paxton Lynch and, of course, Trevor Siemian. Is that an interesting matchup to you?
I think it is. I think it is.
They're not on the same, they're not playing against each other, but they'll be led by, each team will be led by those quarterbacks while they're on the field.
Yeah, I think this is going, you know, it's the first preseason game, so we can't take too much from it. But from a matchup standpoint, no, yeah, to your point, they're not going against each other. But we get a chance to see all these guys, Kyle Sloter even, who was a star camp last year.
Right.
We get to see Kyle Sloter out there.
Sloter would be head-to-head with Chad Kelly.
Yeah, so we'll find out. At least the, you know, the fans will be able to make an opinion. Was John right to let these guys go?
Ooh.
Was he wrong? Should Sloter, the camp star of last year,
I don't know if the Broncos will call him the camp star. I think anybody who was watching practice thought that he was certainly in the conversation for at least a backup quarterback here.
Now, I called that last preseason game for the Broncos last year where Sloter
outstanding.
Where he started that game. So I was gone the first 3 weeks with the Jets doing the internship. So when I got back in town, the story was Kyle Sloter. The story for that last preseason game was all about Kyle Sloter. And, you know, is this local guy from Northern Colorado, is he going to make the roster? Is he, you know, what's going to happen with him? He had a couple of rough moments earlier, almost got a safety in the end zone, threw a couple of balls up there, but he also threw some pretty good balls. But again, we will see. You get a chance to see Chad Kelly. And then the next series, will, you know, when the Vikings hit the ball, we'll see Kyle Sloter. You're going to see them back to back to back to back, couple series in a row. Who's got better command? Who delivers a better football? Who would you rather have on this roster?
Well,
it's just natural the fans are going to make decisions based on what they see tomorrow night.
Who has a better backup quarterback situation? The Vikings with our old quarterbacks or the Broncos with the guys that we have?
At least seemingly, is the Vikings at this point. But in the words of Gary Kubiak, we're fixing to find out tomorrow night.
We're fixing to find out. That is quite an interesting statement. Who has a better backup quarterback situation? Our old quarterbacks or our quarterbacks that we have on the roster now? Because Trevor Siemian has game experience. I mean, we gave him that.
Yeah.
2 years of game experience changes everything for him. But I think Trevor took steps back last year that we couldn't have imagined. I know he retreated a lot in the face of the pass rush. He floated back in the pocket. And you know, as a pass rusher, that is the most perfect situation in the world for you to be turned around the corner and the quarterback is going deeper than you are already set at. And you could just break off and go up the field a little more. I just thought there was something going on with Trevor Siemian last year. Maybe it was a coordination. Maybe it was the lack of confidence in his receivers. Whatever it is, he didn't take a step from year one to year two. Maybe it's because he didn't have Gary Kubiak.
So you go from Gary Kubiak to Mike McCoy. And, you know, the complaints about Mike McCoy's offense have been long and gone over on the station a number of times. Offensive line clearly was an issue last year.
But it was an issue when they won a Super Bowl. It was an issue when they went 9-7. When they went 9-7 with Gary Kubiak, it was an issue.
Now, but Gary's offense, you know, that offense is going to...
A little more conservative.
Much more conservative. It wasn't going to maximize or expose the offensive line issues as much as we saw last year. So we'll find out if Trevor Siemian is a guy who just plateaued, or was he in a no-win situation last year with two different coordinators during the season, three different coordinators in essentially 2 years, Gary Kubiak, Mike McCoy, and then Musgrave, right?
Right.
So, you know, all that combined with offensive line play, you know, how do you stand in the pocket confidently? How do you step up? How do you trust where you're supposed to go when it's, well, we're calling that route combination 9-7-3 used to be, you know, 8-7-2. Now, you know what I mean? All that mental stuff you got to go through as a quarterback, how can you really progress in that situation? So we'll see tomorrow night. Is he the guy we thought he was?
I'm not worried about the number two guy, because I think their number two guy is better than our number two guy.
Okay.
Just being totally honest with you, I think that Trevor Siemian is a better quarterback than Paxton Lynch.
Now, I would agree with that statement.
We had the decision last year in training camp, and clearly there was a winner, and it was Trevor Siemian. The third team guy, Chad Kelly and Kyle Sloter, I am ready for that action. I'm all about that action, boss, when we're talking about those two young quarterbacks getting their shot tomorrow night. And so many great sublines from what's about to happen. It's preseason football. We got all the coverage for you.
Covering Training Camp 2018, presented by Mountain High Appliance. Here's Big Al and D-Mac.
Well, I hope so. You know, and that's a good problem to have. You know, we want every spot on our football team to be that competitive. You know, so when you're doing those things, it obviously it's also practice squad. You know, so we've got some good young players that's competing at a high level. So it's a good problem to have.
Competition is always good. Competition is always good. I want to ask you something here going into this game that does not count officially, but I was looking at, I don't have the 2017 stats, but looking at past Super Bowl winners and how they fared in preseason. And I have the 2016, I don't have the 2017 numbers, but I have the 2016, I have the last 10 years. And here's what's interesting. There has been no team that has won a Super Bowl that has had a losing record in preseason. The year that we won the Super Bowl, Super Bowl 50, we were 3-1 in preseason. Don't tell me you can't, you know, don't tell me that it doesn't matter. So the Eagles were 2-2 last year. Thank you, Big Sexy. So there you go. So the last 11 years, you know, teams that have fared 500 or better have won a Super Bowl. So don't tell me that it doesn't matter about how you go into a preseason contest. You want to make sure your first team is good, but you also want to make sure your second and third team is good. And the reason that you want to do that is because your coaching staff has great confidence and has assembled the right group of guys. And this year is a different year for Vance Joseph. Last year, we saw some shenanigans in preseason that were almost laughable. We saw guys during the game giving autographs out, which is good for the fan base, but in a normal NFL setting, what happens is as you are playing the game, then what's happening is that you are watching your teammates out there and also helping coach them. I mean, I think the greatest symbol that I remember about Peyton Manning, this is the greatest thing that I can remember about Peyton Manning. Even though Peyton Manning didn't participate a lot in preseason games as a member of the Denver Broncos, he always had his shoulder pads on, his full pants on, and his attention was to those that were playing on the field. We lost that last year. Do you think VJ will have a different feel, or it will feel differently this year with Vance Joseph as the head coach than it did last year? We had a proposal. We had autograph sessions going on during the game. How do you feel like it'll be handled this year?
Oh, it's got to be it has to be handled better, and I think it will be handled better. I think when I called that last Broncos preseason game last year, that happened in week three, the proposal and the autographs. And I spoke to and I asked Vance about that, and he said, you know, I've got no problem with the locker room. Those guys know how serious I am. I don't think he necessarily had connected the dots to what that meant for the rest of the team and what kind of image that presented. I think this year those dots are clearly connected, and he clearly understands that that can't be part of who this team is.
Right.
And I would have to think over the course of this offseason, things have been communicated, and we hear Shane Ray. What's the phrase that Shane Ray is using? He's ruling with an iron fist. Something like that, Shane right. Ray said about mm-hmm. Vance. I think Vance understands that you can't allow that those kind of things to happen. And if a really, truly professional football team is just not going to do those kind of things, it's not even going to enter into their thinking. My job is to be on the sidelines to be dressed
right.
and at attention,
right?
Cheering my teammates on.
I like that.
And coaching them when they come to the sideline.
Right, right.
When the linebackers go and sit on the bench, as a veteran guy, I sit there, I listen to what the coach has to say.
Got you.
The coach walks away, then I get with my guy, my second team or my third team guy, and we talk about what did the coach say. Here's what I saw when I was in the game. If you know anything about preseason football, game plans repeat. I saw this play. That means you're going to see it too.
Right.
You know, I've seen this now the last couple years as an intern coach. They don't come in with 80 plays for a preseason game.
Right.
They come in with 20 plays. The one C 20 plays, the two C 20, you know, the game plan just repeats in a cycle. So if you as a third teamer were watching me play, you should know what's going on. And then once I'm off the field and it's your turn to play, I can tell you exactly what I saw because you're about to see it again. But if you're signing autographs and you're eating hot dogs and you're doing marriage proposals, are you really being a pro? Are you really coaching your guys up? Are you really trying to make this team better?
Was that a mistake then, in your opinion? Because, of course, everybody around Denver knows that my partner D-Mac has certainly made sure that everybody knows that that was not a good look for the Broncos last year. I agree with him that it was not a good look for the Denver Broncos. Your take is?
Not a good look at all. It wasn't a good look for the players, the organization, and it wasn't a good look for VJ.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think obviously if he could do that over again, he would have said something early in the preseason to make sure that doesn't happen. But even if he hadn't and it happened, I think he would have come out much more harder against that and just said, that's not who we are. It's not what we do.
And, you know, so much of the conversations that began around the coaching staff always seems to start off with something after the coach says this, then we have a reaction for it. And the reaction is, you know, whether it's a really active, high energy disagreement, or we're in full agreement, or we're indifferent about it. When we hear the coaches say something, we kind of almost feel like we are let in a little bit every time the coach says something. And what we've seen this year is that VJ has been more guarded with his conversation about his team in particular and where they are as far as a group goes. He's not as quick to praise as he was last year. I know there was a period last week when the offense looked good. And in particular, Paxton Lynch looked good. And that was coincidentally, that was the same day when we got A-Play Paxton out of Billy Musgrave, where he said, hey, listen, guys, you've seen some good things, but there were some bad things out there, too. So just to hear that, hey, we saw some good things, but, you know, there were also some bad things that we have to clean up. I didn't hear that much of that last year. This year, I hear it, and it sounds like, okay, that's what coaches sound like. Last year was like, we had a great practice. We had another great practice. And then you start to see the cookie crumble, if you will, after week four of the regular season. And, you know, the coach is saying we had a great practice, but what you saw on the field was, you know, not that. You know, we weren't great. Maybe practice was great, but our play wasn't great. I've just seen him transform his language and his his message to not only the team, but also to the members of the media?
I think there's a maturity process that obviously, you know, any first-year head coach goes through. And I think it's, you know, it's easy to say we had a good practice when you're thinking about it much more from a positional coach kind of look. My guys practice well. We're going to be good.
Gotcha.
Yeah, but,
okay.
But once you start pulling the scope back and you become a head coach, I think it's impossible for everyone to practice well all the time. You know what I mean? And you need to be a little bit more critical and have a much more detailed eye to things and not be so quick to praise and really try to push the coaching points to the front of your conversation instead of, you know, trying to have the praise being the front of your conversation. Your player's job is to respect you. You're not going to earn their respect by heaping praise upon them. You're going to earn their respect by having a great game plan, by running a great organization, by winning football games. That's how you earn their respect. So I think, you know, Vance went through a learning curve not unlike what we see from any head coach. And imagine if you were to study any head coach in their public messaging from year one to year two, they learn a tremendous amount what to say, what not to say, how to phrase things, how to continue to talk to the media every single day while still adhering to your message.
Right.
And your center
right.
core points.
Right.
And not giving too much
away. That's a talent. That's a talent, and that's a learned skill.
You can think you're prepared for that, but dealing with the media every day, you're going to say things that, man, I wish I could take that
right,
back.
Right, right. I'm quite sure our friend would admit that he wished that he could take some things back, like, you know, there's competition. You know, he said there was, you know, Paxton's our number two quarterback. And then they came back and said there will be competition for the number two quarterback. I mean, I think a day or two later. But those are the kind of things that, once again, that we're okay with. We just want to hear it and see it. And we want the team to perform in the ways that most professional teams will operate. And with that being said, Chad, there's something that we got to talk about on the other side. And it's concerning maybe this is the greatest insight that I can give you about what preseason really means. Stick around for this next.
Covering Training Camp 2018, presented by Body Armor Sports Drink. Here's Big Al and D-Mac.
Oh, man, this was my... Now, this is a song I listen to before every single game. Can't believe you played that, Big Sexy. Chad, here is
yeah, you may have all you want, baby.
But I got everything you need. Oh, yeah, ain't talking about love. Oh, yeah, man. Oh, my goodness, man. Every game. Well, speaking of every game, before. I don't know why I like that song so, man. It has nothing to do with football.
It'd be that guitar.
It just feels like something big is about to happen in that song.
It just gets
song.
You moving, gets you hyped a little
does,
bit.
It does, it does. Something that most NFL fans won't pay attention to is what everybody around the NFL is going to pay attention to tonight, tomorrow night, and the rest of the preseason. Chad, I'm talking about how quiet it is during preseason games and the little things that you take from the game. I was listening to the TV last night and I was like, you know what? I'm not going to listen that much because it's not my job anymore. But during all of my years of playing pro football, what we would do, especially here for the Denver Broncos, is that we would record the teams that we were going to see in the preseason, especially for those first four games, because what you can do in the preseason, you can hear all of the checks that they're making on the offensive line. You can hear, because if it's the home team, like you know how quiet it's going to be in that stadium when the Broncos have the football? Every line check that they make is a real line check. They're not playing around. And I am just surprised how close these microphones get to the players and how much information you can get from one television broadcast. Is it still part of the NFL when you are part of this coaching fraternity? Are you still hearing checks and marking that down when you hear preseason games?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And then as the starters, as I talked about, you know, the plays are going to repeat. The game plans are going to repeat. So I come to the sideline and I start talking to the starters. Hey, fellas, what are you hearing out there?
What was the check? What was that check? Did anybody get a check?
It was 3rd and 12. They checked the draw. What was that? So then you could turn to the second team guys and third team guys. All right, when you hear bingo, 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 you know it's going to be a draw.
Okay.
Because they're not going to come in with a new check in a preseason game.
No, no.
The second quarterback and the third quarterback are going to use that exact same language. So, yeah, the ability to hear that stuff, communicate that stuff, I think it was a great opportunity for the young guys who maybe didn't do that kind of thing in college to get a sense of how this is going to work now. And then I would always have, when I was the intern coach, I would always have a third team guy with me. And I'm charting plays, I'm doing whatever. But I would always make sure he was listening for the checks. So then I could go.
Listening for the other team's checks.
The other team's checks. Oh, they checked that. What was that? What was that word? What'd you hear? What'd you hear? So I can write that down and I can give that information to the main position coach and I can relay that to the rest of the guys in my position.
I just love the nuance of football because there are so many little things that are going on all the time. And when I'm listening to a game, like tonight when you're watching your NFL football tonight, when the home team has the football, turn the TV up, close your eyes. They will tell you everything that they're going to do. Mm-hmm. And, you know, like what I wanted to learn when I was playing as a player was what's the call for the down block? Like, what's the down block? Mm-hmm. What is the reach? You know, like, what line slide, Larry, 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 or lefty, 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 or Lucy, Lucy, Lucy. Okay, anything with an L, that means the center is turning to the left. If it's anything with a R in it, the center is turning to the right. Yeah. So all of those things, I could pick those up. I, last night I was listening to the game. I was like, you know, because you can watch the game with your eyes, but if you are really paying attention, when the home team has the football, you can get so much information, and it held over true for us for my time with the Denver Broncos, and you say it's still going on in the NFL. There's no way to get around it because you have to communicate.
You have to communicate, and you have to communicate in a way that everybody can remember. So if I'm a defender and you start throwing out bird words, eagle, falcon, sparrow, hawk, those are all things that fly. It's probably a pass check. You start saying rabbit, tiger, lion, cheetah, those are all on the ground. That's probably a run check. So they make those categories so their players can remember. Well, now all I got to do is remember the category. If it's a bird, it's a pass.
Right. You know, it's funny that you say that because I remember I had a system in here in Denver where we used planets. We used planets to tell everybody what our rush zone was. You know, like it's Mars, it's Venus, it's Jupiter. You know, we never had an Earth check, though. We never had an Earth.
Okay.
yeah. I wonder why. You know,
it's always weird like that. But
I'm like, wait a minute now. We have a Jupiter. We have a Mars. We have a Saturn. No Earth check.
I've been on teams where, as a defense, a 6-man rush was always a bird of prey. And a 7-man rush was always a weather term. Cyclone. Hurricane.
Right.
So it made it easy so you could just throw that one word out. But if I'm on offense and I'm listening, I can pick that up pretty quickly.
But the offensive guys, they're not thinking about that. They're not thinking about – we listen on defense because we're always trying to cheat.
Right.
The offense is trying to make sure, hey, you got that guy, I got this guy. That's why when you hear every time the quarterback comes out and says, like, 52 is the mic, you know, whatever, like 53 is the mic, you know, whatever way it may be, what they're trying to do is set the offensive line so that they know the running back has this guy in this configuration.
Now, we played the Jets last year. When I was with the Jets, we played Detroit in the preseason. And Matthew Stafford was just so amazing at the line of scrimmage. Come out, get into a false cadence, get the defense to move, Check, 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 check. So now the defense is starting to shout out their communication. So he's getting all our checks and audibles.
Mm.
And then he would get them in the right play based on what we said. And he quickly figured out, you know, because the communication's happening. And you have to say the words.
You have to say something. What's worse is hand signals. Hand signals are even worse than words because hand signals, you go, oh, this means this. Okay, that means this. You know, if he's shaking his hand up high, okay, that's a shake route. You know what I'm saying? Whatever. Yeah. You know, if he's waving down low, okay, that may mean a stop. You know what I'm saying? Like,
right.
You know, you have so many. This is why I love preseason, because we're going to find out everything. If we had to play the Minnesota Vikings twice this year, this would be great, because then we could see all of their checks, write them down, and then have them for the next time that we're going to see them. But we do play the Arizona Cardinals in preseason, and we play them in the regular season, so we'll have a chance to get that information, and that will be it, because we got the Vikings, the Chicago Bears, but the Redskins, and the Cardinals.
If you're a smart coach, you may look at coaching trees, because the language is usually going to be similar.
That's true.
So depending on, you know, Mike Zimmer is off such and such coaching tree, or his offensive coordinator is off such and such coaching tree, and we play them in week 9, I can maybe take some information from that and grab those audibles and see how they check out in the first couple of series when we play that same team.
I am looking forward to a lot of football. You know, I was a little disappointed by all the talk that we had yesterday. We won't have to go into that today, but I was, melancholy, I guess, is the word I would use to describe the way I felt about the start of this 2018 football season. But after seeing Saquon Barkley last night, after seeing, you know, even though it was limited time, after really seeing Baker Mayfield and the Cleveland Browns and Njoku, by the way, two big touchdowns last night, one from both of the, you know, Tyrod Taylor and Baker Mayfield. Njoku may be a nice little pickup for your fantasy football team. I just don't look at the Cleveland Browns the same way that I look at, you know, maybe the Giants or another team, because they don't have that history of success. But you can start seeing things when you start seeing the second team play with the same kind of efficiency as the first team. Those are the kind of things to pay attention to when you're watching preseason football out there. How good is that second team? Do they execute or are they off? If the second team is not very good, that probably means the team is not very deep, and don't look for them to have a great season. That's just the way it works.
Or their special teams to be any good. If you can't play offense or defense, then, you know, chances are you're not going to be very good on special teams with your number two guy.
Saw a fumble last night in the game between the Giants and the Cleveland Browns. If you see a fumble in our special teams, what are you thinking?
Come on, Isaiah. Hold on to the rock, baby.
So if Isaiah McKenzie... I didn't say one player, but you went there. I did that purposely. I didn't say not one name, and you immediately said Isaiah McKenzie.
Mm-hmm.
If Isaiah McKenzie fumbles, what does that mean?
That's a wrap. That's a wrap.
What if Phillip Lindsay fumbles?
That's not a wrap. Because you don't have a track record. You don't have a history of doing this. I saw him return kicks at the University of Colorado for years. I can't recall a time when he coughed one up.
So different standards for each player. If one guy happens to have a miscue, you can forgive. But if another guy has a miscue, you can't forget it.
As an NFL football player, you are allowed to make mistakes. But once you become a mistake repeater, we can't do that no more.
Mm.
We got to fix these mistakes. We can't keep going back and paving the same ground over and over again. We got to move forward. There's going to be other mistakes and other issues I want to coach on. I should not have to coach you on the most elemental part of this play.
Right.
They kicked the ball to us. At the end of this play,
we want the ball.
We need to have the ball at the very least. Whether we, you know, gained yards, took it all the way to the house, lost the yard, we need to have the ball in our hands. We stopped them on defense. We can't give the ball back.
And don't forget, arrive early for tomorrow game due to the transition to the mobile ticketing system. In case there's maybe a little glitch here and there in charge your phones before you go to the game, because you don't want to have a dead phone when your ticket is sitting on your phone.
Ooh, yeah, that'd be hurt.
So don't forget about that. That's gonna be big tomorrow night. So don't forget about that. Make sure you charge your phone. Make sure your information is on that phone. The way I like to do it is when I'm traveling through an airport or anything like that, I like to take a screenshot of the picture, and that way I can not have to worry about the internet working for me when I get there. So that's just a little house cleaning there before you go. Tomorrow will be the first game the Denver Broncos will have as a ticketless entry system. So charge your phones, get ready to go. Kevin Vickers is in town, man. He said he wanted to stop by, so I can't wait to sit down and talk with him. And Stink has something to say about Case Keenum. We'll see if Stink liked what Case Keenum had to say.
It's your daily exclamation mark with Mark Schlereth, brought to you by Shomp BMW.
I have nothing but the utmost respect for Case Keenum. Not only as a football player, because he came from essentially nothing, a free agent out of the University of Houston. He worked his way. He's earned everything that he's gotten to this point. So I respect the heck out of that. I respect the heck out of the person that he is. He's a family man. He's a Christian man. He's got great leadership qualities. I respect all of those things. But I got to tell you, when he says this, I just don't believe him.
No, man. I mean, I love all those guys. You know, I mean, this Saturday, it's going to be competition, and we're going to get after it. And I know those guys are going to be jacked to get back on the field, just like I'm jacked to get back on the field. So, but yeah, no bad feelings.
No bad feelings. Listen, I believe when he says, you know, I love those guys. Those are my guys, you know. Guys I played with last year, we're brothers, da 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 da, but no hard feelings. I gotta believe there are some hard feelings. I think that's a good thing. I think those things motivate you. I think those things keep you out there in front. And I hope that he's got that fire burning in his belly that he says, I want to go shove it up their cans. I'm excited for this game. I know he's excited for this game. I've got to believe there's some animosity that burns deep in the belly of a guy like Case Keenum that he wants to go out there and perform. And personally, man, I'm excited about it. I can't wait to see Case Keenum and this Broncos team get their cleats on the grass.
Mark Schlereth and Mike Evans, Monday morning at 6 on Denver Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan.